would move to amend the resolution in front of us to strike.
Which number are you on? 21.
Yeah, it's 21. Mr. Mayor, I would move to amend item 1421 to strike property account R168098, which is 10345 Northeast Clackamas Street, number 2, John and Virginia Robertson, and to strike 1134 Southwest Jefferson, unit 409, from the units that are listed as having the tax abatement rescinded, and to add a paragraph to the resolution that says, and be it further resolved, that the council will not seek retroactive payment of tax abatements.
Which of these two properties at 103rd and Clackamas are you referring to? I only thought I heard discussion on one.
Unit 23 is the one.
What's unit 2?
They did not show up, so I don't
know. Oh, that's just a different.
Yeah. Could you explain?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Unit 2 is the one that I put in my motion. Unit 23 is the one.
Could you explain?
That did not show up.
What's unit 23?
Which unit are we discussing?
Unit 23 said that she was coming to appeal. She also has a disabled child that lives in that unit, but she has not appeared today.
Are you familiar with the case?
I have talked to the lady who owns it.
Are the conditions of that case similar to the conditions in Unit 2?
Yes.
So is the, would you think that if we were going to agree to do what we're doing on Unit 2, we ought to do it to 23?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to include that.
I would take that as a friendly amendment to my motion.
And what about unit number 4 listed at 737 Northeast 99?
That's the second home, and I'm not including that in my motion.
So they would pay back taxes?
No.
My motion would be that nobody in this situation pays back taxes, because I think that was the city's mistake, but that all of the property listed in this resolution, there's over 50 of them, would be required to start paying taxes on the schedule outlined in this resolution other than the three we just lined up. And my working assumption is that this was duly noticed, and that if somebody did not come to this hearing, with the exception, nor did they send in written, the other 46 properties sent in no written remonstrance and did not show up. So I can only assume they accept the finding that they should be paying the taxes.
So Commissioner Sten, might I suggest language for the retroactivity, your second paragraph on now therefore
Absolutely.
Be resolved? Now, therefore, be it resolved that, and this is mirroring the language of the statute in our code, now, therefore, be it resolved that noncompliance will be deemed to have occurred as of the date of this resolution. And that would take it back to July 1, so it would be the 2007-2008 tax year they would start paying.
Mr. Mayor, there's no objection. I would substitute the council's language for mine.
Second. So we're voting on the motion to amend.
Actually, it's the main motion. Do you want us to amend it? Okay.
What was your motion?
Well, we just did a friendly.
Friendly
I just seconded
amendment.
His motion, okay. But we added the third property, and then you're
so
now there, therefore be resolved.
I may have in writing.
I took you as friendly, so I think we have my.
I think it's the main motion.
So we now have three properties.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you write down the motion?
I'll try and repeat it.
Okay.
The motion is to remove three properties from Exhibit A. Two of them I have. One is Unit 2 of the Gateway Condos, R168098. I believe the other, if I was hearing, was Unit 23, Catherine Wells.
Correct.
Yes.
And then the third was Ms. McCarthy's in account number R502256. And secondly, move to substitute the now therefore be resolved that has been read into the record.
Yes.
Second. And what was the 99th? Is that the same as the other three?
No, it just doesn't retroactively pay, but he will begin paying from prospectively.
Was that mentioned in the these various amendments?
Mr. Rop, are you speaking of?
Yes.
Mr. Rupp will be in the same position as all the other people on the list, which is none of them will be paying retroactively. They'll begin with the 2007-2008 tax year.
So you're saying that yours is now the main motion and we vote on and then vote
it
on?
It is. It's actually Eric's motion. I seconded it. And it's simply, it is just as Lindley stated, is the main motion. We're forgiving retroactive taxes, property taxes on everybody, three of the properties, two on Clackamas, one on Jefferson, are not going to be required to pay prospectively.
Further discussion? Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Now what do we have left?
Now we need to vote on the resolution itself. That was the vote on the amendment.
Okay. Please call a vote on the resolution.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Well, I'm really happy that, I mean, this is convoluted a little bit, but there's this bigger picture that this is all happening in that I'm actually very pleased with. I mean, I really do see a different approach on just the general subject of abatements, accountability, checks and balances. And I recognize it's coming out of PDC as well. And I just want you to know I appreciate it and I acknowledge it. I've been on you for some time on some of these issues. And I think it's only fair when you're actually doing the right thing and getting it done and trying to straighten it out from this point on to acknowledge it. And I do. And I greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Sten.
I also want to thank PDC. I think this is hard work to go back, especially when some things that you weren't here for happened. And I think you've done a good job, and it's hard to go back and tell people there was a mistake and they need to start paying the taxes, even if they've, you know, I think often people think of it as, well, I'm losing something, when in fact for most of these folks they probably gained something that they probably shouldn't have got. So it's a fair result. And I also think it's more appropriate for the council to interpret the situation in the way that we have to give some help to, I think, some people who entered into this in good faith to do a good thing for their family members who need it. And so I think it's a good result, and hopefully we won't have this happen again. And I think one of the things that will keep happening, and I think it's part of what Commissioner Leonard is saying, is that, you know, as the housing markets change, we need to change these programs. And part of what happens with government programs is they get put in place, and then for 20 years they continue to exist whether or not they make sense anymore. And so part of what's going on here is we are trying to update these programs more regularly. And if we do that, which is the right thing to do, we will always have cases where something is a little bit off. And I think that's why the council needs to interpret these things. And I feel real comfortable with the interpretation we've made today. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1422.
Terminate and deny single-family new construction limited tax abatements for certain ineligible properties.
Folks, please proceed.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Andy Wilch again, PDC. I just want to note very quickly the general requirements for the program. They are... must be a newly constructed single unit located in a home buyer opportunity area, must be owner occupied, must be purchased by a household at 100% median income for a family of four or less. Buyer must sign for recording a subsequent home buyer deed, home buyer notice. And the other one is about building permits. And so those are the specific requirements on the seven properties, seven owners.
We actually have two sets of properties on this resolution. The top three are existing tax abatements that are looking to roll over to the new owner. All of these had subsequent home buyer notices filed on them, so people should have been aware at the time that they purchased that they needed to contact PDC in order for that to roll over. We did hear from one of these homeowners, however, they are over income, so they are not eligible. The other two homeowners, though we have sent them multiple letters requesting income information, have not contacted PDC. So we are terminating these abatements, as it does not appear that any of these three people qualify. The other four in the other category, these are subsequent buyers where the original owner did not apply for the limited tax abatement. In the past, we have just used the two-year rule, which means 2 years after the final permit, people had 2 years to apply for the tax abatement. With all of our conversations with Multnomah County, reading the statutes carefully, looking at the actual intent of the tax abatement laws, which is basically to stimulate development, it was determined that the
it needed to be the original owner who applied for the tax abatement. So after about the middle of June of this year, we have not been approving subsequent buyers where the original owner did not apply for the tax abatement, even if they were income eligible.
So the original owner was paying full taxes?
The original owner was paying full taxes. Now, some of these, they didn't own them for very long, so they may have only owned them the first year where there wasn't an entire tax bill on the new construction house.
Right.
So, but at this point, these four properties all have full taxes on them.
What were the purchasers told when they purchased the properties?
Well, many of them were told that because it was in the two-year rule, which was the understanding that was out in the community, that we still approved people as long as they were within that two-year period, even if they were not the original owner, that they would be eligible.
Who were they told that by? PDC staff?
PDC staff told some of these people that because that's how we had operated. But when the county was, we were having discussions with the county, it was determined that that was probably not the correct procedure. And so we have now corrected that. If people call now, we tell them that subsequent owners cannot apply. These four people applied in that kind of gray area between when the decision was made to only accept original owners and when that has become a public policy.
So it's the four people who have appealed here today?
Yes.
The house on Boise, Harney, and Nashton and Haven?
Yes.
So you acknowledge that they were told that they qualified, but then subsequent to that, there were these other discussions where that became questionable. Okay.
They are income eligible?
They are all income eligible.
Okay.
They all would have qualified had they not been the subsequent buyer. Basically, we stopped in June, went back through all of our records to look to see if we had anyone who was in the process who was a second buyer because we were told to quit approving them, and these were the four people that came through that process.
So would you characterize these folks as being caught up in a technicality?
Yes.
Not of their own making?
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I mean, they are not trying to defraud the system by any means or do something that we would have considered inappropriate, but it's when the focus of the tax abatement came more on the fact that it's a development tool which comes through the state statute, as that is what the state statute has it set up as. It was determined that we should be interpreting it that only the very original owner should be income eligible. At this point, all these people bought at the correct price range and they are income eligible.
And is that's an interpretation that's can that go either way? Because if I recall correctly, since I sponsored the legislation, I think I might, the council passed a package of legislation designed, admittedly, knowing this was built as a development tool, to limit it and focus it as a first-time buyer development tool.
It won't necessarily have to be a first-time buyer, but it is income-restricted,
right,
and it is price-restricted, trying to look at low- and moderate-income homeowners.
But when this was passed, it was a state program that allowed the city to abate taxes in distressed areas and in order to fix them up.
Right.
And probably 3 years ago, I brought a package to the council where I said, essentially, in my opinion, most of these areas are fixed up. And so giving away taxes in order to get construction is not a good city use. But we could shape these programs completely, you know, under the statutes that are there to limit them only to houses that are not above a certain price point and incomes that are not above a certain price point. So what we are then doing in actuality is using a development program to try and get more moderate-priced people into areas that were getting more expensive. So that's what we've been using for. So it does appear to me that these are completely consistent with the council's intent.
However, with our discussions with the county, we have now agreed that we will not approve anyone except the original owner.
And
that's in the county resolution that they passed in September, which was negotiated between PDC and the city and numerous other people. Mm-hmm. Their agreements into that. So these four people were caught in kind of the middle area before that really became a codified agreement.
And is the 10-year abatement that if this were allowed that these folks are getting, it starts with the original owner?
No, they would start abatement. In single family, the abatements start whenever the person applies. So it's not like these people can only get 6 years because somebody else had it for four but didn't get it. In the transit-oriented and the multifamily, the entire project gets it at one point, and so if somebody buys later on, they only get whatever's left. But that's not true in the single family.
Huh.
It sounds to me like, I mean, this is all interesting, but these folks got caught in the lurch. and they did what they were supposed to do in good faith, bought the house in good faith, basically on representations that later you guys in good faith represented, but later the conditions were changed. So I'd be fine with us fixing these based basically on your recommendations.
And going forward, the limited tax abatement is going to change to where the builder does need to apply before the house is done, and that the original owner will have to apply as soon as they buy it. So this should not happen going forward because the builder will have to have initiated it. And so if it turns over to someone who isn't eligible, we're going to take it off.
Well, I would be prepared to put a motion on the table in the interest of time to strike all four of these homes from the list that will have the tax abatement taken away. And I would be willing to... I would be willing to say in support of this that while I understand the technical argument the county is making, and I understand that in the future we won't do this, in the late rounds of this negotiation, I spent a significant time conversing with Chair Wheeler about what their intention is, and I'm very confident in stating that his intention was just to make sure that the programs got to moderate-income families who needed help buying a home. And I'm actually not even in complete agreement that this, the way this is moving forward is exactly what was in the spirit of that conversation, to be honest. So I'm reasonably confident that the county board would agree on these four based on my conversations with them.
Personally, I would be. I agree.
We have prepared a substitute resolution that grants the applications of the four and terminates the three. We have that to hand out.
In that case, Mr. Mayor, if you would, I would withdraw my amendment and propose substituting the resolution.
Do you have a copy of that?
Yes.
You're awfully quiet, Mr. Hamm.
Okay, is that your new motion?
Yes.
Okay. Did I hear a second?
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Mayor, it's my understanding that there, because you now have the new motion on the table, I understand there may be one or more persons here to testify. They may choose not to, but you should, since it's
you're
a hearing
absolutely
on these.
Right.
Before we vote on it.
One person?
Yes. Jesse Flagg.
You have one, so it might be solid.
Yeah. All you can do is go backwards from here.
I'll leave
it. Yes.
Is there anybody else here who wishes to testify to this matter? Okay. The vote stands.
Well, I think, did we actually vote on the resolution? We just vote to substitute. I think we voted.
Do we vote on this?
Yeah, so we need to vote on the resolution.
Okay. Now. Please call the vote on the resolution.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Please read the 245 time certain.
Agenda item 1423. Adopt the Small Business Bill of Rights as a resource and tool to support, promote, and improve the small business climate in Portland.
Thank you. This was actually supported by all five members of the council. Did anybody wish to make any opening statements?
After you.
Okay. With all my, if you folks would please, if you're not here for this one, if you could go outside with your conversations, we'd appreciate it. All my colleagues on council, I'm delighted to introduce the next item, the Small Business Bill of Rights for the City of Portland. Small businesses and small business owners historically have not had their voices heard as loudly. This document goes a long way in acknowledging the role small businesses play in shaping our city. Small businesses are the backbone of Portland's economy. In Multnomah County alone, there are over 20,000 small businesses that employ over 125,000 people with a payroll of $1.1 billion. Of these, almost 13,000 are microenterprises with five or less employees. It is with small and micro business that women and minorities are able to break into their own economic enterprises. It's impossible to overlook their contributions to our city and their vital role in breathing life into our neighborhoods. They build community that strengthens the diverse fabric of our community. This Bill of Rights reflects a common vision for our city, shared not only amongst businesses themselves, but amongst all Portlanders. I know we'll hear more about the importance of this resolution and how it came about, but since all five commissioners are sponsoring this resolution, I want to give each of them a chance to speak before testimony begins, beginning with Commissioner Adams, whose office also worked on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And the partnership between our offices to get this done, I think, was serves well the small businesses of Portland. And this resolution does reaffirm the importance of small business in the city of Portland, as well it should. We know that small businesses are particularly vulnerable to the economic and policy fluctuations, that Small Business Bill of Rights will establish clearer commitment to the success of small businesses in our community. However, like our federal Bill of Rights, it does require a two-way responsibility. It will, and in the process of doing that, what the Bill of Rights does is it helps to outline what that two-way responsibility is. I'm committed, as I know my colleagues on the City Council, to doing everything that we can do to make sure that the success of small businesses are assured with our policy and management decisions. I want to thank, in addition to my colleagues on the City Council, Kevin Easton in the Mayor's Office, Jennifer Nolfi and Jordan Wheeler from PDC, and of course the great Small Business Advisory Council leadership, Jackie Babicki, Ken Turner, Chuck Jones, who are with us here today, for your hard work and leadership over many years, and to the rest of the SBAC and to the wider small business community for your support of this effort. And we have some invited testimony, unless someone else wants to make some opening comments. Could we have Jackie Babicki, Ken Turner, and Chuck Jones? Chuck, you're looking very patriotic today.
You ought to see his T-shirt.
I'll take a pass.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Commissioner. We really appreciate being here. Actually, we're delighted to be here today. So I introduce myself. My name is Jacqueline Babicki Peterson, and my work is that I'm the Director of Finance and Administration for Yellow Color House, which is a local small startup business. I currently chair the Small Business Advisory Council, and I have been a Portland business owner since 1976. I am totally steeped in the issues of small business. Before I begin, I'm going to introduce my colleagues from the Small Business Advisory Council. Ken Turner is the vice chair of the Small Business Advisory Council, and Chuck Jones is a member of the Small Business Advisory Council Cost of Doing Business Committee, and that's our group that really did what I'd call the heavy lifting on our Bill of Rights. We also have quite a few of our other SBAC members present. If I can just take a second and have them stand up and maybe say hello and introduce themselves. This is John Bradshaw, Marty Medeiros, Josiah Whitman, Pat Lawrence, back there Ethan Dunham, also we got Mark Hope, Jill Critchfield, and Jonathan Colon. Did I get you all? A very hardworking group for the city of Portland and for the small business interests. They put a tremendous amount of time and energy into this process. So they say we're very pleased to be here today, and we see the resolution before you as a wonderful example of the way that businesses and the city can work together to develop and articulate ideas that are in the best interests of our entire community and of our economy. The SBAC, as you know, was created by ordinance, city ordinance, nearly 5 years ago. And we were charged at that time with speaking for the interests of the very large and extensive, important, and many times voiceless population of small business owners in our city. And over the time we have been in existence, we have worked with each of you and your offices to give you input and feedback on your proposals. And we have also made proposals ourselves on programs and policies that we believe will strengthen our economy by making small businesses more profitable, more successful, and more sustainable. And we know that small businesses create jobs, and that's the best way for us to have a vibrant economy here in Portland, have one that creates and retains jobs. Over time, we began to realize that there was not a central framework by which to evaluate, develop, or review programs, proposals, and ideas that would help strengthen small business. There wasn't a central set of guidelines or guiding principles to determine if an action would help make a difference or not. Finally, we determined that one way to strengthen the voice of small business was to develop this Bill of Rights, which would be such a set of guiding principles. And so the resolution that you have before you is the result of our very hard work to articulate what we see as the rights and needs of small businesses in the city of Portland. So Ken is going to share with you our process on, you know, developing the Bill of Rights.
Thank you. And, you know, it's a real pleasure to be here. I'm going to throw a curve into what Jackie led up to my speech about the process coming up to this. I think there's something else happening, probably as important, if not more important, than the process we went through. And that's what we're seeing today, that there actually is something that you folks, you commissioners, can agree with, the small business people, and we've worked together for the last year or so on these issues. I can go down through the council individually and thank you for the efforts. Eric, early on in the process, we sat down with him and he said, you know, you gotta be careful with a few things. We changed those. Randy, through your diligence and your strong leadership, you have changed a couple of these items to strengthen this process, to strengthen the Bill of Rights. And we appreciate your help tremendously. Sam, from the start, you've been a booster of this, a leader in getting things ideas channeled. Kimberly, your staff person has been wonderful with this, and we appreciate this. And then, Mr. Mayor, I'll tell you, I don't know what to say. We came down to the last round with everyone, and it got to your office, and you started commenting, and some of the greatest comments that probably ever come out of this, this building, about what we can do with these Bill of Rights to make it palatable to all, from the implementation, from the city standpoint, and from a standpoint that the business community understands it, and it didn't lose meaning. Words are words. It's the implication, it's the meaning. Sometimes it's the end of the journey and not the way we get there. And I think that this is a great day for all of us. It may shed somewhat, and I say somewhat, the image that the government of Portland cannot work with the small business community. I think this is a good indication and true testimony that it can, in fact, work together and sustain this great city that we're all proud of.
Tough when you're third, especially after Mr. Mayor. Commissioner, I've already said most of what I was going to say. But Mr. Mayor and commissioners, again, thanks for considering this. I will talk a little bit about the process. It has been a year and a half. We have gone, when I say we, the members of SBAC have gone throughout the community talking to numerous business organizations and to individual business owners. You can see the list in the back of the pamphlet of the groups that have endorsed the Small Business Bill of Rights, and all of their boards have unanimously approved those. Plus, there were over 300 individual business owners that have signed that. You know, passage of this, I feel, will be an additional step to the one you did earlier this year of lowering the business income tax. We now have a second indication that Portland is open for business and going to be small business friendly, and I think that sends an incredibly great message, not only to this community, but to the state. The Small Business Bill of Rights, excuse me, came out of the state of Maine, actually was the first state to pass a bill within the past few years. And as an ex officio member of the Governor's Small Business Council, I have given them copies of what we've been proposing here, and they are hoping to have a similar bill passed in February. And so I think it is really neat that the city is going to do it before the state even gets a chance to. So I thank you for acknowledging how important small business is to our overall economy here in Portland as well as in the state of Oregon. I didn't introduce myself at the beginning, but Chuck Jones, and I have been a small business owner in the city since 1983. I've started several companies, just started another brand new one. And so I'm obviously a great believer in small business, and it is nice to be able to say that, you know, Portland is business friendly. Thank you.
In addition to the points made by Chuck and by Ken, I want to make sure that's recorded for that each of you and many other fine people within the city bureaus, you know, the SBAC works with the city bureaus quite extensively. And we've got some outstanding people who have helped us and been very active in developing this Bill of Rights. Just to name a few, Suzanne Vara, Bob Hillier, Sue Klobertanz, Jeff Baer, Dan Vizzini, Sue Keel. I just can't imagine what we would do without their effort. And certainly, as I said, people from your offices, Brendan, Jim Madow, Aaron, Kimberly, Kevin, I mean, they've all been tremendous help to us. And always, I don't think we could survive without Jennifer Nolfi and Jordan Wheeler. This is, as I say, truly a collaborative effort between business and the city government to, you know, create this Bill of Rights. I'd like to finish up and share with you what we plan to do with this document, you know, since we're hoping to move it forward today. So internally, as we go forward, we plan to use it as a basis for our decision making. So when proposals are brought to us, and you ask for our feedback, we're going to look at them within the context of what is here in the Bill of Rights. So, you know, when we respond and give you ideas back, you might very well find them couched in the language of, you know, as we see within the Bill of Rights, you know, this, and this. So you'll see us using that kind of a language. You also know that last year we created our own action platform of principles and actions that we thought would help small business. And we're working on our platform for 2008, and the Bill of Rights again is going to be giving us guidance. So when we come and present that action platform, you will hear us speak, you know, about that platform and again how it integrates with what we've got written in the Bill of Rights. We also plan to use the document for continued outreach to the community. You know, when we've testified before you before, we've told you how seriously we take our charge that, you know, we got from you to be one of the voices that speaks for, you know, the large population of small businesses. And so we work very hard to communicate to the small businesses. And, you know, as we said, we've got a lot of people who have ratified, if you will, our Bill of Rights, who've signed up for it. And we plan to continue to take it out to the community and talk with people and share with them and let them know, you know, that there is this set of guiding principles that can unify the voice of small business throughout the Portland community. So I'm going to say again, my goal with all of this for a long time has been this, that when you or another public official asks the small business, what can government do for them? I know you do this a lot. What can we do? How can we help you? How can we help make you more successful? My goal is that a business will say to you three answers. Their first answer will be, this is what my business needs. Their second answer will be, this is what my neighborhood or my industry needs. And their third answer will be, but this is what all businesses need, and they'll be referring back to our Bill of Rights document. And that's how we really would love to see it be used. So we hereby request a yes vote from each of you in support of our resolution, and we thank you very much.
Thank you very much, folks.
Questions?
I think we have three other folks coming up.
Gail Castillo, Gene Baker, John Bradshaw, who's wearing the best tie in the room. At least the colors are most appropriate. Wouldn't you say, Ken?
Afternoon, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
Okay. Who's going to go first? I'll go first.
Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Gail Castillo. I'm a small business owner. I'm also president of the Hispanic Chamber, as I think you know. The Hispanic Chamber, as you know, is one of the largest chambers in Oregon with over 750 members. Our mission is to work with all members of the community to support the economic advancement of Latino-owned businesses. We address our mission by helping hundreds of Latino businesses each year to identify contract opportunities, to identify sources of capital, access business information, meet the requirements of city agencies and bureaus. As a result, hundreds of Latino businesses have increased their revenue, increased the amount of taxes paid to the city of Portland, increased the number of employees that live in the city of Portland, and increase the amount of products and services that they are buying from other small businesses. The Hispanic Chamber urges the City Council to recognize the importance of small businesses in Portland, including Latino businesses. We urge the City Council to demonstrate its support of small businesses by endorsing the Small Business Bill of Rights. Small businesses are the backbone of Portland, and the Bill of Rights speaks to the need for the City Council and the City Bureaus to consider small businesses when developing policy or implementing programs. Specifically, the Bill of Rights would support better access to information for small businesses, support access to capital for small businesses, prioritize funding for fire, public safety, parks, and infrastructure, which helps sustain small businesses, communicate the importance of streets and roadways to support the movement of goods and services for healthy enterprise, and encourage a taxation and fee system that supports and encourages small businesses. We urge you to send the message that Portland is indeed open for business and that you will do all that you can to start, grow, and sustain small businesses in Portland. Thank you very much.
After that, I am speechless. Well, not quite, actually. I'm Jean Baker. I'm currently the president of the Alliance of Portland Neighborhood Business Associations. And we, our job is to support the business districts, which exist in all of the commercial corridors outside of the main part of downtown. And we're very much in favor of the Bill of Rights. And three of the things that came to me, we did the Vision PDX survey. And we went around and talked to every one of our business districts, and three of the things that are on the Bill of Rights are the ones that came up in the business district versions for the future. One of them is that the city will continue to work with us, that the transportation will manage the freight movement problem, and that the impact of densification on jobs and businesses in the commercial corridors will be considered every time there is some kind of change being proposed for them. I do urge you to approve this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners. My name is John Bradshaw. I am the owner of Portland Transmission Warehouse over at 1016 Southeast Hawthorne, and this May we will be a 70-year-old third-generation distribution company. We distribute automatic transmission parts, a clean industry, all over the Northwest. I represent not only my company today, I represent SBAC, which I thoroughly enjoy involvement in, and I've been asked to speak for the Central Eastside Industrial District and Council that I've been involved in for the last 25 years. I do not want to be repetitive or redundant. Some very eloquent things have been said about this. I sincerely appreciate your support for this resolution and ask for your vote in this regard. I will just simply add some facts that I learned from Harry DeWolf, the SBA Administrator Director for the City of Portland this week, and some of them have already been mentioned. Small business represents over 80% of all the jobs in the state of Oregon, and in a conversation with one of you this morning, found out that's illustrative of the same thing in the City of Portland. Oftentimes, we are confused with big business. We are dramatically different than large business. And we represent basically 255,000 jobs as employee status in the city of Portland and over 53,000 business in Portland. And when you act for small business today, you are acting for them. One other thing I want to leave you with when it comes to the situation of the difference between large business and small business. Small business, please keep in mind, is a type of organization that basically is a high-risk organization that basically fights for survival every day and every week and every month of its existence. And I don't know any of us that are in this room or representing a small business that have a golden parachute. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is that all the folks that have been requested? How many folks have signed up to testify?
About five left.
Okay. I have an excused absence at 4 o'clock, and I think Commissioner Adams does as well. Would it be possible, is there anybody here that is opposed to this Small Business Bill of Rights?
I dare you to stand up.
You know, I really want to vote on this, and with five more people, we'll be past my time. Would it be possible, and is it under the rules acceptable to the council members as well as the city attorney's office to take a vote now and hear the rest of the testimony so that I can vote before I have to leave?
Sure. Yes.
I like that opinion. Yeah, could you put that in writing for me?
It was a long pause.
Shortest answer ever by a city attorney.
Could we call a vote, and then we will hear the rest of the people, because I know they came here to testify, and I appreciate that.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Stem? Aye. Potter?
I just want to make a few comments. I mean, this is a stellar day for our community. But, you know, when we got the results from the Vision PDX, it clearly indicated that Portlanders have overwhelmingly a common interest in the continued growth of our local small businesses, that they want to see an increased effort to expand our local businesses, and that they want to be able to walk or bike to their local small businesses. Those three messages came out very clearly, and I think they are reflected in this Bill of Rights. And I want to say thank you to the SBAC and all the folks who worked on this, to Commissioner Adams and others on this council for their leadership. And I am just pleased as punch to be able to vote yes. Now we will continue with the testimony. And if we have to get up and leave at 4 o'clock, please don't take it personal. Please call the next three.
Stephanie Stevens, Dan LeGrand, and Frank Ryan.
I'll make it quick. Stephanie Stevens, project manager of Vision PDX, and Mayor Potter, you stole a lot of what I was going to say.
Well, that's great.
But yes, the not only did this come out very strongly in the vision data from businesses, but from the community at large. And one of the top values for our community is community connectedness and distinctiveness. And we know that it's an environment that allows small businesses to thrive that really creates the Portland we want now and in the future. And small business owners are really the unsung heroes in our community, so I'm here to support them.
Dan LeGrand, a small business owner in Northeast Portland, and here today as a board member of the East Portland Chamber of Commerce. I think you said it well already, but I just want to reiterate how important this is to the East Side small businesses. There are about 14,000 businesses on Portland's East Side. 95% of those are small businesses, 50 or under, and of those, about 4,800 have an average of 15 employees, and even more surprising, about 8,000 average 2 employees each. So they are truly small businesses, and that is the profile of Portland's East Side. And we are very gratified by your support of this measure, and thank you very much.
I'm Frank Ryan, and I'm a small business person. I represent the Northwest Senior and Boomer News and Eagle newspapers. I also am affiliated with the East Portland Chamber of Commerce, the Midway Business Association, and I have the rare pleasure of belonging to the Gresham Chamber as well. I'm here today to thank you very much as a body, Mr. Mayor and commissioners, for working with the community, and I'm also thankful that our East Portland Chamber was involved in this process and was able to contribute. I was one of the independent citizen folk who signed on the dotted line to support this whole process. I worked in the past as an advocate for civil rights in the 60s, later on for business rights and with various chambers throughout the Northwest Columbia River waterway system. So This, for me, is a great element in that it helps seniors, because we have, of our readership in our paper, 12% are seniors who either own businesses or affect business decisions. So this also affects our minority group, which now is actually becoming a majority, because in some realms of the city, over 40 to 50% of the people are over the age of 55. So it affects us and from our readership base. We're very thankful. So, again, I thank you. I thank you for your vote. And I look for this to be a platform from whence more great accomplishment can come. In a time when we've had a lot of criticism of city and of county, this is a great opportunity for us to bloom like a flower and expand the small business and general business relationships and process and profitability, hopefully.
Thank you, folks.
The last two are Mark Hope and Debbie Kitchen.
Folks, thank you for being here. And when you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, fellow commissioners. My name is Mark Hope. I'm owner of a company called Tire Disposal and Recycling, and I moved the business here to Portland 3 years ago from Clackamas. And I want to say that being in North Portland, it feels like a really good place. I wanted to just kind of recognize the fact today that this is a really premier event, I think, of coming of age, that small business is recognized for what it really does contribute to the community, and that people pay attention and know that it exists. I think we all know, in fact, SBAC, as a member of SBAC, we were given a presentation on Green Light Initiative here recently, talking about big business, and there's plenty of things and economic development going on for big business. The questions are always asked, how many people do you employ? There's kind of a litmus test. If you don't have large numbers, then perhaps, you know, the resource base isn't there, what have you. But I think today's effort really is that premier event, finally recognizing the coming of age of the sense of importance of small business to the vitality and not only livability, but also the economic vitality of a community as well. Thank you very much.
I'm Debbie Kitchen, co-owner of Interworks General Contractors in Northeast Portland, and I'm also chair of the Small Business Council of the Portland Business Alliance. The Portland Business Alliance has over 1,000 members who are small businesses in its membership, and we just want to commend you for the support today shown for small businesses and pledge our support in as the Portland Business Alliance and the small business members in working with the city to try to make a better environment for small business, for the innovation, the jobs, and the community that that small business can contribute to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is that it?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Anybody want to make any closing comments?
Well, I just wanted to recognize in the last 2.5, 3 years, working with SBAC and others, we've done a lot. We've done a number of things to improve or seek to improve the environment, business climate, including this council has provided ongoing funding for the full-time staffing of the Association of Portland Neighborhood Business Associations. When the transportation system development charges came up, we held the line in terms of keeping the rates flat, and we removed some terrible inequities that did not provide East Portland with the kind of resources that they need and deserve for transportation. The business license fee reform that this council enacted was specifically aimed at reducing the tax burden on small businesses. Just yesterday, this council reformed our business tax yet again to remove some technical glitches that prevented venture capital firms from locating in the city, and therefore that distance between our small business and venture capital firms, that barrier has been removed. And then on the Safe, Sound, and Green Streets initiatives that's coming forward, a piece that's in the Bill of Rights does establish a mitigation fund for transportation construction mitigation for neighborhood businesses if that package moves forward. So I think this is just a great way to top off the year. Thanks.
Well, I guess I would just say thanks as well. It's been fun working with you, and you look so unified, people would think it was easy to get you all to agree. So that's impressive as well. I mean, we never even pull off that to the final mess. But I think this is really important, and I think Ken said at least for a while it looked like we're working together, and I think it has been actually for a while that we're working together, and you are Portland, really, and I don't know what else I could say. And we need to make sure you have the tools you need. And part of what happens, I think, over time is that the organization isn't there, and so the voices that come in are very different. And so one of the things that happens at the council, some of you recall years ago when we were first starting to look at trying to change the business income tax, and we had a plan, and a different group of businesses came in and killed it. Then we got another plan. And so it is very hard to make these things work. And so the result is the status quo, which doesn't work for anybody. And I think through your organization, you've been able to help guide us and have certainly been patient in listening to the other things that we have to say and represent. And I think we're off to a good path. And have to tell you, we just got the forecast yesterday, and the city's budget for next year is up dramatically, primarily because we're collecting $10 million more of business income tax. And we only collect business income tax when people make money. And so that's a very good thing, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, folks, very much. We do have a 3:45 time certain, but that has been rescheduled until December 5th at 2:45. Do you have to read it into the record?
I probably should. 1424, accept State of the River Report, 2006-2007.
Been rescheduled December 5th, 2:45. We're adjourned until next week.
Thank you.
I think that was a good resolution on those.